Grab your copy of God's Word. And can you say this with me? Say, I am what God's Word says I am. I can do what God's Word says I can do. And I can become all that God said I could be. So tonight, I'll hear God's Word. I'll receive God's Word. And I'll obey God's Word. Because I love His Word. I did hear of a story one time about a little girl that came up to her father and she said, Daddy, are you afraid of anything? And he said, Baby, no, I'm not afraid of anything. She said, Well, Daddy, are you afraid of ghosts? She said, I'm not afraid of ghosts. She said, You afraid of the dark? No, I'm not afraid of the dark. You afraid of snakes, Daddy? No, I'm not afraid of snakes. She said, What about spiders, Daddy? Are you afraid of spiders? She said, No, I'm not afraid of any spiders. He said, So you're only afraid of mommy then, right? With that in mind, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 as we talk a little bit from the love chapter about what God intended for relationships. And this evening, we're going to dig deep into the scriptures that tell about the heart of God for us. You know, when you look at the scriptures and you can see 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and chapter 14, it's talking about order in the church. Very specifically about services like this. It instructs us about what we're supposed to do in services like this when we join together. But in the middle of the order of service, if you will, it's like he stops everything and he begins to talk about love. And as a matter of fact, he goes so deep into the significance of love in the body of Christ, in church, like this, the importance and the significance of loving each other, he goes so far as to say, even if you have great gifts, I mean gifts of knowledge and wisdom and faith to move mountains and healing and all of these great, great gifts, if you have all that and don't have love, it's worthless. It's not any good. And so with that in mind, I want to show you what we would often read at a wedding ceremony or during premarital counseling to show you the picture of what God intended for relational kind of love. So Michelle, if you wouldn't mind reading that passage of scripture.
Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wrong. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up, never loses faith, is always hopeful, and endures through every circumstance. And I love the Message version of this because it's just
to the
personality.
Point.
It's just straight to the point. It says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut around with a swelled head. It doesn't force itself on others with a me first attitude. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. And it doesn't revel when others grovel. Love takes pleasure in truth. Love puts up with all things. It always trusts in God and it always looks for the best. Love never dies.
Now, I want you to understand what she just read and the power of what she just described. That kind of love is the love that Jesus exemplified. But here's the problem in most marriages is that they suffer from three marriage issues. The three main ones are intimacy, communication, and finances, and usually a combination of the three. But it often begins with communication. When the breakdown of communication begins to suffer, that's when marriages begin to turn the wrong direction. And so what happens is, and Jesus' description really for us through the Apostle Paul is that we need to love like Jesus loved. And what did Jesus do? He gave himself up, the Bible says, for the church. And here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 5. to the husband. All right, all the ladies in the house, can you say to the husband? All right, here it is. The scriptures say to the husband, go all out in your love for your wife, exactly as Christ did for the church, a love marked by giving and not getting. Christ's love makes the church whole. His words evoke her beauty. Everything he says and does is designed to bring the best out of her and to dress her in holiness. That's how a husband should love his wife. Now, don't nudge each other during these passages of Scripture, okay, if you're seated by your spouse. All right, Michelle, would you read what the Scriptures say to the wife?
To the wife in Ephesians. Submit yourself to your husband as you do to the Lord. For the husband provides leadership to his wife the way Christ does to his church. So just as the church submits to Christ, wives should likewise submit to their husbands. And the scriptures say to both man and wife, husband and wife, submit yourselves to one another in the fear of God.
Okay, so when there's mutual submission, you always win.
Right.
Submitting yourselves, therefore, unto the Lord. And what that picture really is a picture like these triangles that you've seen up here, and you have no idea what this is. So I'm gonna help you with this. Now, Randy, I'm gonna have you and your wife, if you wouldn't mind, make your way up here for just a moment. You're like, do I really want to do this, dear Lord in heaven? I don't want to do this. Please, 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 I don't want to do this. And let's see who else I could pick on tonight. How about the two of you? Come on up here. All right, now, here's what I'd like for you to do. You're like, what did I just sign up for? Here's what I'd like for you to do. You two stand on this side. You two stand on this side. And here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to stand right up close to here, right? Like near the top of the pyramid. Not quite at the top. Face each other. So you get on one side and you get on the other. There we go. All right? And now what I want you to do is just kind of put your hands up like you're kind of holding each other up, but you're not really. You can touch each other. Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, we're in church, but you can touch each other. You're married.
Pastor Beverly,
so you
can touch him.
That's right.
It's okay.
Now what I want you to do is just take a few steps toward the congregation, putting your feet on the line of the blue tape, and just kind of make your way down, okay? Now, right now it's pretty easy and there's not a whole lot of issue. I know, yes, this could get... Now let's get to a place where you're leaning into each other a little bit, all right? So can you lean into each other? You're like, how long is this going to last? How long do we lean? Now, let's stop right there, okay? Now, you're not feeling any real pressure, but if I move you forward a little bit, there's a little pressure going on. And if I got you all the way to the end, do I dare do it? Oh, yes. Okay. Now, this is a picture of being away from God in your marriage. Okay? You're barely making it. Now, go ahead and move up toward there a little bit. Okay, yes. Thank you, Jesus. They both said it. Now, if I had the both of you do this, you're going right over on the other side of this triangle, aren't you?
Yes, sir.
Now, here's what happened. You can put your hands down. Now, let's stop for just a moment and pretend that this is the way all marriages begin, right? They're leaning into each other, and if they were on both ends, leaning as far over as they could, they're leaning into one another for support. But what happens is if we put God at the top of that triangle, let's all pretend in this bold exercise that at the very top of that circle is God. What happened was, as they had their hands and they were leaning against each other, they found still supported, but they didn't need to push each other to feel support. Does that make sense? That's what happens when your communication is strong with each other and with the Lord. But here's what happens often in a relationship. If let's just pretend that this sweet lady got upset with the man across from this circle. Let's just pretend. Okay, because it would never in a million years happen. So here's what happens. Now she's frustrated with him. Now go ahead and I want you to turn around, all right, and turn your back on him a little bit. Okay, oh, there it is. She's even got the look too. She is sporting the look. She might have done this before. I don't know. Now, if you'll just kind of give her a little bit of your piece of your mind. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. Okay.
Now, you
don't have to watch it. You don't have to watch it. You just keep your back. Okay, that's good. Okay. All right, stop right there. Before we have divorce in this home, let's stop it before it goes too far. Now, here's what happens. Here's what often happens in marriage. Someone gets hurt, they turn, and guess what happens? There's no support. If you've ever seen a trust fall, and I'm not going to make you do that, if you've ever seen a trust fall, it's where you turn and you lean back and you fall backwards, but they're not even in a position to trust each other at that point. So now turn back around. You don't want to see what's going on. Like we say in children's church, follow the instructions. That's right. Okay. Now, I'm having so much fun. I don't care if you're having fun. I'm having a great time. Now he sees that she's turned her back on him. She's frustrated with him, and it causes hurt in him. Now go ahead and turn around if you will. Okay. This is the beginning of an end in a relationship. Both parties have turned. There is no support. Even if one fell, the other could not pick them up because they don't see it. They don't see the hurt. He's not seeing the hurt in her. She's not seeing the hurt in him. And so what happens over time is, and in many couples, all it takes is the fact that there's no positive communication between the two of them for somebody else, Pastor Bart, if you would. I can do this because he's a son, and so there's no threat here. But all it takes is for a man, let's just pretend now, okay? No, not pretend that he's a man. He is a man. He's the man.
Oh, his daddy turned around on that.
His dad turned around on that one, man. Okay, yes. No, please. No, that's okay. What I meant to say is pretend that he's not her son, okay? And he comes by and he says, "Well, you look awfully nice today."
Oh,
my goodness. Let's send you back before things go crazy. Okay. All it takes, now we're laughing, but this is Monday, tomorrow, what's about to take place in relationships all over the city of Dothan. All it takes is, "You look nice today." She's been craving that kind of attention because he's not giving that to her. So because that love tank is emptied, now she receives this in a way that could be unhealthy. Even if the man didn't think that in his mind, all of a sudden, now she has some thoughts, some fantasies going on about what he could be and how he... It's amazing to me and to Michelle how people will leave what could be a very strong, happy, healthy marital relationship, and they'll leave miss 90%, to end up with miss 10%. It's the strangest thing. Because what's happening is miss 90%, their spouse, has all these unbelievable qualities, but deficient in this very small spot. And because they're at odds with each other, their backs are turned, now they can't see each other's sides. They can't see what God created them to see. See, over here, we have this couple now that's turned toward each other. They're turned toward the Lord. Go ahead and put your hands up there, leaning into each other for support. If you've ever seen the picture of prayer, the best picture of prayer that I can describe and that you could, if I just showed a picture of the screen, praying hands, right? The picture of praying hands or the picture of staying hands. What happens in a marriage relationship that is strong and healthy and secure and loving is when you pray, you're beginning to ask the Lord, "Lord, we don't always see eye to eye. Lord, we have issues. Lord, we're walking through this difficulty. Lord, we're not seeing things like we should see them, but God, help me to see this spouse through your eyes. Lord, help me to see him the way you see him. Lord, help me to love him the way you love him. And then he gets to pray back, Lord, help me to see her through your eyes. You know what God often does is he uses our memories in a positive way when we pray. Because all of the memories, and I want you to just pretend just for a moment that you're remembering when you first saw each other. When you first had a glimmer in your eye that you were in love with each other. I want you to pretend that just for the moment, remember the first time that you said, man, this is the one. This is the one. See, I'm not even saying what happened, and they're laughing up. They're smiling. They can't help but have huge smiles. You want to know why? I asked a few decent questions, and their memories, the God memories, the positive things, are beginning to show up. Now, what happens over here, and you can put your hands down if you'd like. We may have to send y'all home for the evening. God bless you. Have a great evening. But over here, let's fix this marriage. Michelle, will you please help me fix this marriage, please? Now, here's what can happen. If we can turn the tables, and instead of having a man walk up to her and say, "Ooh, you look nice today," or a lady saying, "You look very handsome this evening," let's switch around. Okay? And now, you be an encourager to her, and I be an accountability to him. And if I'm talking to him the way the Lord would desire for me to talk to him, I'm telling him, you need to turn back to her. You need to love her as Christ loved the church. Read Ephesians chapter 5 where it talks about the husband. Look at what it says. Look at how it says, love your wife exactly as Christ did with the church. A love marked by giving and not getting. See, if you were focused on getting and not giving, then you're probably going to have some tough times. But if you're focused on giving, it's amazing how that reciprocates. A selfish marriage is a doomed marriage, but a loving marriage that's constantly giving, always out serving their mate, it's always going to stand the test of time. And slowly but surely, the hope is we're turning them back toward each other again. See, then now they kind of like each other again. But they're still going to, listen, it doesn't mean there's never going to be any problem. The issues could possibly remain. And that's why you have to have that loving accountability, that encouragement. And we don't have to be the wisest people on the planet, those that help and support. We could just be two people that love God and love the couple. Sometimes that's all it takes. Now, I understand there may be some that you do need some Christian counseling. You need to go deeper and find out where are those issues? What's the root causes? Especially if they're consistently happening. But if you turn toward each other, and I'm going to grab his hand, you grab hers. There you go. And I want you to lean into each other again. Lean, baby, lean, he said. And now look, watch this. I'm going to hold up his arm, you hold up hers. Okay, this is a picture of what the church is supposed to look like. Thank you guys, you may be seated. We love y'all, thank y'all so much. Can you give a hand to these couples? I love it. Now, that's what's supposed to happen. That doesn't mean that it always happens that way. And so we talked a little bit about what God intended, and I can tell you, Michelle and I, when we went through our marriage, we went through pre-marriage counseling. As a matter of fact, first of all, we went through classes.
Yes, we did.
Right? And the classes, they had a book to read.
A bunch of books. A
couple of books, that's right. They had assignments where we had to bring back the results of the books that we read, 8 weeks. Then we went into personal premarital counseling, where they talked everything about childhood and certain things about our relationships previous to this one, our current relationship, and from the time we started dating until now, how healthy has it been? And it's amazing, they gave us a lot of wonderful tools to help build a strong, healthy marriage. You know what's amazing, though? We said, I do, walked out the door, and forgot most of it. It's true. We had the tools, we just didn't know how to use them. You know, a hammer in the hands of a five-year-old could do a lot of damage. But the hammer in the hands of a handyman, somebody who knows how to work with tools, a builder, or even a chisel and hammer in the hands of a sculptor, can make something absolutely beautiful. And so what happened was, when we were dating, we had the magnifying glass out, magnifying each other's strengths. Oh, she's the most amazing cook, and she's the most amazing girlfriend, and she's the most amazing this and most amazing that. And marriage is like a magnifying glass, only it can have the opportunity to magnify the weaknesses. Marriage is a magnifier. It magnifies both strengths and weaknesses. And so what happened for us is that we begin, you don't have to know where we're at, baby. We're right here. We're right here. I'm looking at you and you're looking at me and we're right here. And in the middle of all of it, something began to shift where we said, we need help. We have tools, but we're using it against each other instead of with each other. And so we sought out some Christian counseling, which I encourage all of you. Like I said, just like my mom, how many were here this morning to hear about three of you, good. How many of you were here this morning? Thank you. And you remember when I told about my mom who did not change the oil for a whole long time. And here's what the Bible says about oil in the scriptures. Psalm 133, it says, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony. For harmony is a precious as the anointing oil, and that represents the Holy Spirit, that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard, onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls from the mountains of Zion, and there the Lord has pronounced his blessing everlasting. It's a picture of creating harmony in your home. And here's what happens when the harmony doesn't exist. Those marriage triangles happen and one turns away and the other turns away. And before too long, both turns away. And here's a picture of a broken marriage. I can describe it as what happens in physical therapy. And I shared this, I think, a Sunday night or two ago. But my mom described this with her shoulder. She said the hardest thing about surgery was not the surgery itself, it was the physical therapy. Now, here's what happens when a marriage can receive healing. And I want you to describe a little bit from your perspective on how you sensed when things were going wrong and when you saw things starting to change going right. But what I saw and what my mom described is that she said, I was able to do a lot of forward motion, but it hurt the worst reaching backward. And that's what has happened in many couples is this flight or fight mentality where they get into a place where they say, you know what? I'm afraid to talk about what we talked about before because we're just going to argue about it. We're just going to fight anyway. There's no hope. And so what this Christian counselor shared with us, now it's been, gosh, maybe 20 years ago, toward the beginning of our relationship, was to begin to pour in acceptance and security and confidence into that person, to begin to speak over them what God sees about them. And so if you'll take just a minute and you can share or not share about what you saw in those that shifting time. And the first thought I had was the scripture, loving, if you're loyal or if you love someone, you'll be loyal to them no matter what the cost. And we talked a little bit about loyalty with each other, some of the challenges we faced early on, and even some of the issues about our communication. So,
well, I think if Mark and I are from two different backgrounds, as he said this morning, and not only were the north and the south, which, yes, that can do affect the communication a little bit, but our home life was completely different. I mean, you guys know his parents and how amazing they are, and I like to kind of joke about it because it's like he's from the Beaver Cleaver family, and like I was from more like Bart Simpson's family, but God knew, you know what I'm saying? God knew, and that we needed each other. So even that in itself, coming from two different sides of the track, so you will say, causes a breakdown in communications. Yes, we had the class. Yes, we had the books. Yes, we had counseling. But until you are in that position and living life as a married couple, you don't really have to deal with the issues until you have to deal with the issues.
Right.
You can say, you know, yeah, we're going to do it this way, but until you're walking it out, you don't really have that experience behind you. But we had to really work on our communication because of how my filter was completely different than his. And there were times in our marriage that when we were first married that we didn't really know how to communicate.
Yeah.
I think your idea of communication was completely different. In my home, you didn't really talk about it. It was just you knew that your family was your family, and if they hurt you, then that's just okay because you know that they love you and you get over it. You don't sit there and talk about your problems. Well, his family, which is more what we've adopted in our home, is that you sit down and you talk about it. You talk about how your feelings were hurt and that you recognize that you hurt that person's feelings and what you're going to do to not do that action, that negative action again. So it was something that we didn't really flow in until we went to get a little bit of Christian counseling to help us through that. But I think the main thing, if I would say anything tonight about that, would be that you have to feel safe with your spouse, because I'm going to have a different opinion than he is, and he's going to have a different opinion than me. And praise God, because I didn't, you know, want to marry myself. You know, but I mean, sometimes I'm like, gosh, if he could think more like me, that would be awesome. Or even just think what I'm thinking, you know, or not wonder what I'm thinking. But just to feel safe, and safe meaning I'm not talking about physically safe, although that's an issue. But I'm talking like just being vulnerable with my heart. Let me tell you how I'm feeling. Let me explain to you what that did to me, your actions and how you made me feel, and me not have to worry about him telling me, well, that's ridiculous that you feel that way. Because feelings are neither right or wrong, but they're your feelings.
Right.
So just building that communication in your home that your spouse feels comfortable and safe to be who they are. Not that you don't grow in your weaknesses, but that you feel safe in communicating and being who you are.
Right. And I think that and it lands here. I said Psalm 133, but I want to read this last part of Psalm 133, verses 2 and 3. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls from the mountains of Zion. And there the Lord has pronounced his blessing. Harmony is agreement. In music, it would be a combination of tones, especially when they blend together, that produces chords that are pleasing to the ear. And I wonder if you have ever had maybe a displeasing tone. I wonder. I mean, I'm sure it's never happened before. But if you've ever had a displeasing tone in your home, it creates a very disruptive place. I remember a guy that was in Grand Rapids, where my dad was a pastor for years, and he was an usher up in the balcony. And every week, you could just tell his faithfulness. And I so appreciated this man. But one of the things that he was not only tone deaf, but he was going deaf. And so what would happen is we sang this one particular song, and the only words were hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You know that song? Anybody know that? Okay. Well, here's the problem. he would sing that song, but he would never know when the Luya was supposed to be done. So he'd start, you know, everybody's voices are blending together. A lot of times when we'd sing that song, it would be like a very reverent, quiet, reflecting moment. And so no instruments, right? Hallelujah. Ah. Hallelujah. Ah. Hallelujah. Ah. Except it was louder and worse. And I wonder how many times the Lord has tried to have his Holy Spirit come into the middle of your problem between you and your spouse. And he begins to come in like a dove. Hallelujah. Ah. Hallelujah. Ah. Before too long, that displeasing tone is not harmonious. It's not loving. It's not caring. It's not supportive. It's not encouraging. It's not blessing. And so tonight, what we want to close out this time together with you in doing is to help you produce a harmonious tone in your homes. And for those of you that are not married, you may need to talk about this with your children as a reminder of the way they talk to you and the way you talk to them. Because guess what? This translates, yes, here in marriage, but do you know that I have the same ability to go, hallelujah, ah, to my son? Hallelujah, ah, to my daughter? Do you know that these are not just my kids? Or her kids, but they're God's kids. And so not only do I intend and need to call out the destiny of her, but it's my not only obligation, it's my opportunity, my responsibility to call the destiny out in them. And so tonight my prayer is, let's call that destiny out of each other. Let's be the body of Christ that encourages one another. Not that we talk bad about each other when the spouse is standing like this. Not that we get on the side of the other one and say, hey, yeah, you know what? She really isn't, you know, worth all that. She doesn't really have much to offer anyway. No, we come alongside and say, look at what the Word of God has to say. And I believe when we find that harmonious tune, God's going to show up. And he's going to show himself faithful. And Jeff, if you'd come as we close out. And if you know that old song, would you mind playing it if you know it? Do you know that song? Ah, we'll see. Play any song you want, my friend. Marriage is a magnifying glass. And some of us are using it like a microscope to nitpick, to find weak points and weak areas. And tonight, what I want us to do is pray over each other. If you have a spouse that's seated in the room, one of the things that we have found in marriage counseling and couples counseling is that there are a lot of marriages that are suffering because they don't pray together. They don't ever pray together. And you may not be here with your spouse, or they may not be with you this evening, and that's okay. You can pray for them if they're not here tonight. But if your spouse is here and you're seated with them, I want you to take just a moment and I want you to pray over them. Or if you're with your daughter or your son, I want you to include them and pray over them. You say, Mark, I don't know what to pray. Just pray, God bless them. God encourage them. God strengthen them. God support them. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart. It doesn't have to be some long prayer. It doesn't have to be some King James prayer. And what it has to be is from your heart. What it has to be is an encouragement to them. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, if you're seated with them, and if you're not, you can pray. Listen, if you're single in this house, we celebrate you, we support you. If you're single tonight, would you mind taking a moment and praying either, one, if you desire to get married, for your future spouse, or two, if you're married and you're single and you're choosing not to get married for whatever reasons, would you just begin to pray that God would give you divine appointments for your family members and for your friends, that you could speak life into them? So I want you to take just these next few moments as we close out And I want you to begin to pray for your family, for your spouse, if they're here or if they're not. And if you're single, praying for either that one that God would bring you to or a divine appointment with your family members or friends. Can you do that right now? And Michelle, I'm going to ask you to come down. We'll pray with our kids. Lord, I bless them with strength and health. I bless them with a happy and a healthy life together. God, give them safety and protection. God, guide their every step. Give them joy in times of sorrow. Bring them your calm in the midst of the storm. I bless them from this day forward. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance on you and bring you peace. And may the Lord our God write his name on your heart and declare, "You're my child. No one can take you from my hand." May you sense and know the love of the Lord, and may that love be constantly revealed through your words of worship to him and your words of encouragement to one another. And I bless you to be a blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.